civilizations, we don't have time to consider this. So that's why we put the tank of power when we just have to do it and just have to do it. But I hope that you're all well rested, and I look at you, I see you all as patient and you're doing the support stuff. How well rested, the passion of that makes. I think it's a good message tomorrow. We all going to dress up. We get a day, one to the year, with the president will address the nation on the commodities for the 2011. First of all, Jim, is there any apologies to you?
There is an apology from Honorable Mahfoga, Chief of the Government, and Honorable Mahfoga just reminded me that she will be using this stage. And Mr. Bula was here in her honor, and she said that he said that he will come as well as me.
Just to let you know that we will all become aunts and uncles. So, other than the forum, Prime Minister, she will be joining us. So we will all go and have a small party. Yeah. So, we stand in the community. Do you understand me? Can we go to the agenda? Consideration of the first term drop in the people program is 2 weeks. Now, if you go to the program, I'm sure you can see that the drop in the people. We compiled it as he was saying, the draft committee report, so that women can look at it, knowing that things can change in terms of context, and whether members are happy with it as it's out. Do you have the program title? First is the Solid Committee on Social Development. On the 9th of February, that's today, this is the and then tomorrow we'll have Thursday we'll have the State of the Nation address. We wanted to start to have changes in any of the questions. And it's that on this day that the ECOP is also having a speech. But I thought that we should have a position because we have the mission. So since the ECOP is on that day, we thought that we could push the Human Rights Commission report and social development issue should even be in from the State of the Nation address to the 15th of February. Issue that they are going to take out of the summer and address it in that time they need to be effect. And then so on the 15th of February, I'm proposing that we take the program of the 22nd of February and turn it into the 13th. So it's the Human Rights Commission report and the briefing by the Department of Social Development on issues emanating from the State of the Nation address. Okay? Do that, so that is the 15th. And temperature is 30 Celsius. On the 1st of March, it talks about adoption of the quality report in the annual report of staff. Then again, on the 8th of March, it says, the first one, drafting of the committee's annual strategy and business plan. And then again on the 8th of March, adoption of the committee's annual strategy and business plan. Is it not the same thing? On the 8th of March and also on the 1st of March.
It's the same thing,
oh, this is drafting and then adoption.
Yeah. I think all things we need to give me this draft is different draft. Let's look at having two meetings in 1 week.
Oh,
yeah. Because we won't lose that.
Yeah.
If we don't lose to the stuff.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that act is so comprehensive. Yeah. Oh, and the DG told me to say that the certificates are on the they were just in the plan of the Present, and then there are the apologies, the agenda, of the beautiful article. Thank you. publication of the annual report of the National Development Agency. You can fill in the Development Agency. Now, last year we considered the National Development Agency annual report, and midway through the presentation, we discovered that the presentation we were making to the committee did not concur with the information that was presented by the meeting. We then sent it back to state, and will come back to us at a visit to the meeting and present to us as the projecting the annual report. So the NDA is listed, along with the Honourable Member, Deputy Minister, Young Tui, and you can then fill in the list of the NDA, saying that it's the representation. Oh, and Honourable Minister, you all have a presentation? read it, which is in thank you. We are here with a brand new member of the committee, the deputy chairperson, Ms. Sashane. I think the chairperson is on his way. He will be joining us soon. Social development as well as NDA. We're going to allow a CEO of NDA to present the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. We do apologize for the current conditions, but this is the nature of the material. I think it's a band. It's a band under the room when you go on
research, the paper on research, and for NDA.
at the Mobile Company Institute, MBA.
Organizations and relevant organs of the state, and this is quite critical for us at NGA because if we our mandate is in terms of contributing towards the eradication of poverty in the communities and it's targeting civil society organizations, we need to consult and dialogue and understand what are the issues and listen to the communities in terms of what are the issues that are impacting negatively in terms of development issues, but also what are the issues that would contribute in terms of poverty eradication. Hence, we regard this as an important aspect in terms of ensuring that there is sharing of development experience, but also dialogue and consultation. Also, the secondary mandate is to promote debate on development policy, and also, most importantly, undertaking of research and publication aimed at providing the basis for the development policy. Because again, the importance of that, unless we do this, otherwise we will not be a responsive agency that is responding to the needs and challenges of the community. Hence, it is important to do that. In terms of our vision, mission and values, our vision is a developing society free from poverty, and the mission is to facilitate development through targeted grant funding, research, and strategic partnerships. And I just want to emphasize the importance there of partnerships, because we believe as NGA that we cannot contribute towards the eradication of poverty alone as an organization, but we need to be working with various partners in terms of addressing those issues. And our values is integrity, excellence, dignity, partnering, commitment, as well as empowerment. The key strategic goals that we had set for the year under review, which is 2009 and 2010, we had four strategic goals. The first one being promote sustainable development. The second one, promote organizational sustainability, development practice, and excellence. And if you can, if you look at that goal, you can see that it's looking inwardly in terms of what is expected of us as an organization in terms of ensuring that indeed we achieve what we want to achieve in terms of promoting sustainable development. Goal three is to promote interface between civil society organizations, research institutions, development practitioners, and the state on development issues. And goal number four is to facilitate research that informs grant funding decisions, procedures, and development policies. In terms of our overall achievements for a strategic goal one, a total amount of 111.1 million was dispersed to 396 approved projects. And I can just indicate that these projects are the projects that were approved in the previous year, but they also include a total number of 77 projects which were approved for funding for the year 2009 and 10 to the value of 95 million rand. And if you look at these projects that were approved for 9 and 10, the 77 projects, the breakdown of those projects is, and I can, again, you can see Honorable Chair, in terms of the distribution of these projects, that they are targeting those issues which are key issues that are affecting our people in terms of poverty issues. If you look at issues of food security, if you look at issues of unemployment, and therefore we have projects that are focusing on income generation, but also issues around agriculture and agribusiness projects. So in terms of these 77 projects, 11 of those were food security projects, which were funded to the value of 30.3 million, and 45 income generation projects, which were funded to the value of 54.2 million. We had 15 agriculture and agribusiness projects which were funded to the value of 23.4 million. And lastly, we had six networks of NGOs which were funded to strengthen capacity of their membership to the value of 3.8 million rand. And I can just emphasize in terms of that aspect of the six networks that we are working closely with a network. A network, for example, is where civil society organizations that are addressing the same issues become a network, and you have members that fall within there. For example, we have a network of early childhood development civil society organizations. So what we do is fund this network so that in return it can capacitate the members, individual members, or that is civil society organizations which are members of that particular network. and it needs assistance in terms of building the capacity, which is the most important aspect in terms of assisting in terms of taking development issues forward. I had already indicated that in terms of food security projects, we had 11 food security projects, which I indicated that they were at a value of 13.3 million. We also make sure that as we undertake and we fund these projects, so that at least we can monitor and understand the number of beneficiaries that are benefiting from the projects that we fund. Hence, during the year under review, in terms of food security projects, we had 3,521 beneficiaries which were supported through food security projects, and this included women, youth, and people with disabilities. And with regard to the income-generating projects, which I indicated there were 45 at a value of 54.2 million, we created 1,761 employment opportunities through this project. And with regard to agricultural as well as agribusiness projects, which I indicated earlier on that there were 15 at the value of 23.4 million, there were 1,071 beneficiaries which were supported through this project, and this number included 442 women, 504 men, 125 beneficiaries from incubation center, which included 299 youth and 67 people with disabilities. With regard to capacity building support in terms of the funded project, we have a 9 SAFA-aligned training manual which was developed in specific learning areas that are relevant to NCA business in terms of assisting particularly the implementation of the project. But also we have 77 projects where the 77 projects that were approved for the period 9-10 financial year. For each project that was approved, we made sure that there is an element of capacity building. And that is done because we understand, we have experienced that as projects implement, they experience a number of challenges, and a number of those challenges are related to capacity issues. And therefore, it's important that each project, as it is approved, we have an amount that is allocated for capacity. And some of the areas that have been common in terms of capacity issues that we have identified in terms of the year under review and in the previous years is the fact that there were capacity issues around governance issues as well as the financial management, where we find that the experience challenges in managing the funds that we transfer through grants to these civil society organizations. But also the other challenges relate to issues of conflict. There are projects where there are conflicts to the extent that we have to intervene and ensure that there are conflict resolution interventions to assist members when they are fighting, because sometimes that fight can even impact negatively in terms of progress with regards to the implementation of projects. Hence, we find it important to ensure that we also address this issue of conflict resolution. But also important in some projects, the issue of marketing, because as we work together with this civil society organization, they produce a product. It's important that for them to be sustainable, those products need to be products that can be sold. Otherwise, hence it is important to ensure that we identify markets for those, but also we assist them in marketing those products, but also capacitating them in terms of enabling them to market such products. During the year under review, we had the draft capacity building framework, which we developed in consultation with the Department of Social Development, and as indicated lastly, the capacity building, which was done through the network, this network that we supported. That slide, Honorable Chair, and I'm sure the Honorable Members would be interested just to have, I've indicated the amount of money, the number of projects. I indicated that during the year under review, there were 77 projects that were approved for just that specific. interested to know the distribution of those projects in terms of the amount as well as the number of projects in each province. And as you can see, that is the numbers, they are not going to go one by one. But you can see in terms of that, that even the amount, because I'm sure the question could be asked, what determines the amount of money for each province? So we are guided by poverty index, which guides us in terms of the targeting a specific province. So look, we can see there in terms of the number of projects and the amount. With your permission, Honourable Chair, I don't know whether you would want me to take one by one or if you are happy to see the slide. With regard to the second goal, which is, I said in, earlier on, it's indicating inwardly in terms of promoting organizational sustainability, development practice, and excellence as a development agency. We, in terms of the year under review, we had planned because we believe that for us as an organization to be sustainable, we need to ensure that we have enough money, if I can put that way. We have enough financial resources to assist us to undertake the work that we want to do. And as such, we have identified the fact that we cannot only rely on the government funding that we are getting, because as you know, Honourable Members, the funding that we are getting through government is very little. It's very little if you look at, you compare it with the challenges there in terms of poverty eradication. So hence we had planned to raise 50 million rand during the year under review 9 and 10 in kind and in cash in addition to the government grant. As such, during the year under review, we developed a resource mobilization strategy which was going to assist us and guide us in terms of mobilizing resources. And during the year under review, we signed a strategic partnership with AFISA and Masisizane. And this partnership really was in terms of assisting and contributing in terms of the implementation of various programs in rural economic and development zones. And this, again, is an important aspect for us because we, as much as we did not get, I mean, hard cash, but the support there, it assisted us in terms of taking forward rural economic development in those zones. But also we signed various MOUs at the level of funded projects. And these MOUs were targeting in terms of providing assistance to relevant funded projects to enable them to implement those funded projects. We unfortunately could not raise cash, but as I was indicating, no cash was raised, but 40 million rand was raised in kind for project implementation, and that is requested through this partnership that I'm saying we had in terms of assisting towards implementation of projects at project level. We also, during the year under review, had planned to reposition NCA as an organization because we had identified that it was important. We still have areas where there is minimal understanding in terms of the role of NCA and what NCA can do in terms of supporting communities in addressing issues of poverty. Hence, we regarded this as important. And during the year under review, the media profile of the NCA improved as a result of the funded projects, which were profiled in various newspapers, magazines, and online media. But also, the awareness of the NCA increased in communities, as community building initiatives were undertaken through project launches in 5 provinces. And this, we have seen it as one area that assists us even in ensuring that communities begin to see or you know, the project showcase the work that they are doing, and therefore the communities can begin to see what the value of work through NCA. Also, during the year review, various publications targeting specific stakeholders were produced and distributed extensively, and strategic partnerships were formed with government, business, and civil society organizations, elevating the level of engagement. And an integrated marketing and communication strategy aimed at improving the image of the organization was revised and approved during the year under review. We have also plans to identify and empower a vulnerable group, and during the year under review as an organization, we appointed two people with disabilities, but also we had the employment equity plan, and we understand that we're not doing very well in terms of increasing the number of people with disabilities within the organization. We had the employment equity plan, which was approved and submitted to the Department of Labor as required. We had the occupational health and safety policy, which was developed, approved, and implemented. And we also appointed some 15 of occupational health and safety representatives, and this included the representatives in the provinces. We, in the years, in the past years, but also during the year under review, we have identified that one of the challenges that we have is that we would want to see a picture where we spend a lot of money in terms of the core mandate and reduce the cost in terms of administration. Hence, during the year under review, we had put an objective which was saying that we would have wanted to see ourselves for the year under review having 65% allocated in terms of core business and having just 35% administration that is supporting the core business. And I can indicate that unfortunately we could not achieve this target of increasing money for the core business and reducing the administration cost to the extent that we achieve 65-35 ratio as we had indicated. And I mean the number of reasons really that made us not to achieve this target which we had set for ourselves. And one of those reasons was the fact that when we were planning, we had looked at the amount of money that we were going to get and the grant fund from government, and usually we calculate the percentage in terms of interest, which we allocate it to do more work in terms of that. But also, we're hoping that, as I indicated earlier on, that we would generate or we would mobilize more resources so that we could build more or increase the amount of money that is allocated to money or allocated for money. However, as I indicated, we did not get the interest rate was reduced during the year under review, so the amount that we had planned to get was not as much as we had hoped, but also we could not even raise resources, financial resources to assist. So we did not achieve this target. However, we have since developed a cost reduction strategy, but also strengthening, as I indicated, the mobilization strategy, so that going forward, really, we can ensure that we achieve this target of increasing the cost for the core mandate and decreasing the cost for administration. We also look internally in terms of ensuring that our processes are aligned and are assisting and aiding us to achieve in terms of the objectives that we have in terms of the strategy. As a result, we did some analysis where we're looking at the current situation in terms of various processes that are used in various directories. We met those and we developed a to-be way in terms of what is the future, what do we anticipate to have in terms of processes that would enable and facilitate undertaking of the work that we do. So this was based on a number of directories. interest that we have within the organization. We developed a number of policies and procedures to assist us in our work, and a list of those policies were developed and implemented, as you can see there on our chair. I'm not going to go through them one by one, but those are the policies that we developed during the year under review and we implemented. We also had a performance management system that we developed to assist us as an organization to move. And this, in terms of this performance management system, it consists of three tiers, that is, we link individual performance with a unit performance as well as organizational performance. So ensure that there is no disjunction between an individual performing and the broader, you know, organizational performance. And we have found that that three-tiered performance management system is assisting us in terms of monitoring and managing performance. We had performance appraisals which were conducted biannually. We had training and workshops which were done to assist management in terms of implementing this performance management system that have been stated. We also during the year under review conduct indicated that also we managed to submit the strategy document on time for taking in parliament, and the fact that, which was quite important for us, is that we an enterprise-wide risk management was developed and implemented, and this assisted us in terms of identifying risks that are there as we do our business, but also ensuring that we manage those risks. There were audit findings that have come from various areas, some from internal audit and some from the Auditor General. And I can just indicate that we had, during the year under review, we had plans to ensure that all those findings, we implement, we address them. However, during the year under review, we managed to address 50% of those audits. And we have taken it upon ourselves that going forward, this is one area that indeed we need to improve and ensure that we address those issues that are picked up either by the Auditor General or even by internal audit. We implemented compliance checklists, and also earlier on when I started the presentation, I indicated the values that guide the organization. And as such, during the year under review, we felt that it was important that we leave the values as identified as an organization. And we included this video in the performance management system to ensure that we hold each manager accountable in terms of living the value. With regard to the strategic goal number 3, promote the interface between civil society organizations, research institutions, development practitioners, and the state on development issues. We had a draft sector strategy that was developed and submitted for consultation in terms of the plan with regard to undertaking the dialogue. But also, we, during the year under review, we developed a tool that was going to assist us in measuring, because it's one thing to just have an objective that says, let's dialogue, let's consult our civil society organizations in terms of development issues and public policy. However, we felt that it is important for us to measure whether these we are getting value for money out of this dialogue, because we can continue in dialogue and dialogue, and you find that there is no, these dialogues are not assisting us in terms of influencing policies or even in terms of assisting implementation and development issues on the ground. So we have developed a tool that was going to assist us in terms of this. We had some dialogues that were undertaken during the year under review. We had a strategic policy dialogue on the developmental state and the fight against poverty in South Africa, which was completed. And also we had a database which was we developed, which was installed in various provinces to assist in terms of monitoring of projects. But also we felt that it was important for us to have a resource center which would assist even internal staff in terms of accessing resources or information that would contribute to the work that internal staff is doing. We had a desktop research on poverty and developmental issues, the outcome of that research is a report. We continually disseminate this information that we get to the provinces so that they can assist the provinces in implementing poverty and developmental projects. As part of our work, we conduct various monitoring and evaluation studies. And these are intended to really see the extent to which the projects are managing to implement the issues as indicated in terms of the implementation plan. But also, because I indicated earlier on that some of these projects are intended at generating income, and therefore it's important to see as you progress with the implementation of a project to see whether the project is yielding the results that it's supposed to be yielding. So hence we have monitoring and evaluation, and usually what we also do is that at the end of, because we fund projects for a certain period, so at the midterm we would evaluate the progress, but also at the end of the project, the funding period, we would evaluate the impact of the project, particularly checking what was the initial situation before we funded and what has been the impact of the funding. So health impact performance the project, these visits were done in preparation for the impact studies which I have just explained. There were studies that were conducted during the year under review. National study on the state of ICT on South African NGO sector was planned and carried out successfully. And again, in terms of the specific study, we would identify in a particular year areas which we feel are important to analyze, to assist, because whatever we're doing as NGA, we are assisting the civil society organizations to undertake development work. So we identify an area, hence this year we identified that we need to do a study on the state of ICT in terms of South African NGO sector. We produced a number of documents, but also importantly, not learned from our civil society organizations, because as they continue to implement this project on the ground, the lessons that are learned, and the importance of us documenting those lessons is that it's easier to take that information and share it with others, because you might find that the same project has failed in KwaZulu-Natal. And when you document success stories and lessons learned in KwaZulu-Natal, you can take that and take it to assist those that have failed previously in terms of that. So that's one area that we feel it's important for us to document the lessons learned so that the civil society organizations and the communities can be able to replicate these success stories. So during the year under review, two best practice case studies for funded projects were produced. And those are the achievements that we achieved in terms of the strategic goals, the four strategic goals that I've indicated. But I just want to indicate that we experienced some challenges in undertaking our work. As much as we had a clean audit, but we had a number of challenges that we experienced during the year under review, and some of those challenges we are addressing them as we are continuing with our work. And the first challenge, as I indicated, is limited financial resources. If you look at the money that we get from the grant that we get from government, it's very little in terms of undertaking development work and poverty eradication, work looking at the amount of poverty in the community. And however, as we have stated, we are looking at mobilizing resources, and we hope that as we move forward, we'll be able to mobilize resources in addition to, and then to add on the amount that we get from government. Also, internally, we have inadequate skills and competencies in terms of MDA staff with regard to providing effective support to funded projects. We acknowledge the fact that these projects, when we fund projects, when we approve and fund projects, we need to literally hold by hand, if I can put it that way, the project, assist them in the implementation of the project, and monitor the implementation, as I indicated, ensure that we understand what is happening with this, within this project. And we acknowledge the fact that we need to continuously improve the skills of our internal staff, particularly the development managers, who have a role of ensuring that they monitor and support these projects within the community. So we have made sure that we have ongoing skills training also to assist the staff so that they can provide relevant support to approved projects. But these challenges, particularly capacity challenges, are not the challenges that are only affecting us. But we have picked it as a challenge that also even the projects, the civil society organizations that we support or that we fund, they have capacity issues. I had mentioned that earlier on. And these capacity issues around the issues of management, the institutional capacity, and in other instances, even technical capacity to enable the implementation of projects, of funded projects. In other instances, even governance issues, they become a challenge. So we have various targeted interventions, capacity building interventions to address various issues in terms of responding to those needs that are there. And in addition to just those capacity building interventions that we have, we also have identified partners that can assist us in terms of facilitating implementation of projects so that we can work closely with those. I mean, in other instances, we have had a very good partnership at local level, municipalities, local economic development units, assisting the projects that are within the community level in terms of ensuring that some of those capacity issues, they are supported in civil society organizations. And again, this is one area that we have identified going forward as a key and important area that in other instances we need not just rely on MDA staff members, but also work together with our various partners in terms of providing support to this funded project. I would be failing really, Honourable Chair, if I don't take out just as much as I have spoken about the issue, the challenge, the capacity issue to enable us to support the project. I would just like to highlight particularly the importance of the challenge around monitoring and evaluating a project, because that is a challenge that we continue to have, and the challenge that we are developing a turnaround strategy to ensure that we address that particular project, because we recognize the importance of ensuring that we have proper systems, we have proper processes, and we have proper skills in terms of undertaking monitoring so that at the end we can have effective implementation in terms of the project. Hence, we have highlighted in this particular area around monitoring and evaluation of funded projects. actually, I can just indicate that as much as I'm reporting on 9 and 10, that even now going forward, we have ensured that in our new strategy, we focus more in terms of ensuring that the resources also are located in terms of monitoring and evaluation, but also in terms of capacity building. We are increasing the load so that we can ensure that we yield the results that we want to achieve. I will just end there and ask my colleague to quickly go through, Honourable Chair, through the finances.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, the presentation on behalf of the CFO. We are on page 22 now. The NGA received a grant from government by the DSD of 144 million rand. We had interest of 16 million rand. We will see later on that we expected a lot more interest, and hence it was the start of the downtime in the economy, and we didn't see and we anticipated over too much interest. Our mandate cost is directly to fund projects. In this aspect, we funded 94 million rand projects. However, we have a problem with National Treasury and DSD in that some of our projects are not feasible, and some of them we struggle, they have conflict, they have issues in it, and they were over, they were more than 6 years old. But the AUG insisted and National Treasury insisted we like a black CEO, and we had no other option. In some projects we tried to resolve these conflicts, make it work, but we had to write all projects off 12 million rand. This money was taken back to the NDA and was given back to the projects that could work. Some of the direct project costs, which includes due diligence evaluation, costing the NDA 7 million rand, also include the payback. Administration costs for that year, 2019, cost us 72 million rand. I digest also in some of the administration costs, accommodation, board fees, the NDA's mandate, legislation is clear, management cannot approve projects, it has to go by the board, and you will see that there is a lot of cost in the board, which is quite high because of the administrative issues in our act. Marketing and communication costs also include some of the costs that is related to the mandate and project approval. Other expenditure, we also do dialogue, which is our secondary mandate, will be included in other expenditure, which includes paying for some civil society organizations to attend these meetings. That is about the income and expenditure statement. The most important item on the financial statement is our cash reserve. You will see that we have a 216 million in our bank. That doesn't mean we're rich, most of that money is committed to projects. We have tranche payments on projects. We don't do a one-off payment. We pay over three tranches, which is more than 24 to 36 months. But because we have contractual obligations, we have to keep this money under current liabilities, which indicates the NDA have quite a bit of money, but it's not a true reflection of that. Page 24. Analysis of the financial statements. We received an increase from the previous year of 6 million rand, which is 144 million rand. Again, there is this issue of the 28% we thought we're going to get a lot more money for interest. Unfortunately, we didn't. And that was a decrease of 28% that we received actually. Write-back of 12.4 million rand, and I guess the difference why we had to have write-backs. We reduced our administration cost by 3%, and that was purely because of the cost containment model that we're trying to do. I'm happy to announce that we did get an unqualified audit for the year, Chairperson. However, we did have irregular expenditure of 881,000 rand. I can say the CEO herself went through all these expenditure with the relevant executive director, and corrective action was taken. Thank you.
honorable members.
Being profiled in various newspapers, magazines, and online media.
payment fees, the change on which media or which newspapers to use them, because sometimes I have problems going with all of the European one advertising in the wrong newspaper that does not reach the room or the people that need information. We also have and then my second question is on page 16, dialogue, for the sake of relevant development issues. I'm grateful to see that you've now got your strategic policy dialogue and development strategy in the developmental state and the fight against poverty in South Africa and other countries. It is very, very important that you do this. And it must be extremely interesting on doing such a dialogue. I would like to know what were the outcomes of the dialogue. If you can supply us with the company, with a copy of the outcomes of the dialogue. And then we all want these projects to be successful. Actually, that's the main goal that the department should fit, sustainability of these projects. On slide 17, you have detailed reports on funding projects. That would be very interesting to see. There's another request then. If the department could possibly supply the committee with a copy of the report on funded projects, of the 77 funded projects. And then conflict managers. Some projects, and that is on projects being 6 years old, that you're still battling with conflict on 6 year old projects, it is different. Because if monitoring, according to what you just said, my dear, was done on a regular basis, monitoring, evaluation, assistance on these projects. Why do you still have conflict management? Why do you still do the conflict management now after 6 years, on 6 year old projects? And then, there were many unanswered questions on last year's bank accounts opened, money never spent, money never paid. And I mentioned this at the previous meeting, but never ever had an answer from India. And that was the one project in Silver. I gave all the details. Don't ask me to give it to you again. I gave all the details. And I asked for an answer from the department. I never got an answer. I also asked for an answer on the sale of a farm in the Wittenberg area. No word was ever heard. It was a project from the NDA. The farmers just sold it. It was sold to a church, and the land is just not being worked, nothing is coming out of it. I've asked that more than a year ago to be correct. Never had any answer. I would like to know if the department is now ready to be an answer. On the 17th of last year, I'll stop here, Chair, but this is also an important. You can go on, fraud prevention, on the 17th of November last year, I've asked for a copy, and the department agreed that they will send us, not for me, for the committee, a copy, on the fraud prevention plan. I hope this copy is with the department today, to hand it over to our secretary or to the chairperson. And then I heard about monitoring and assistance of projects. What was being done on the furniture project, a brilliant project in Mpumalanga that we visited last year? Was it last 2009, the end of 2009, a brilliant project. A project that was really bringing returns. Which was to me the best project that I've ever visited of the NDA, the only best project, I must say. How did the NDA assist to improve the marketing challenge that they faced? What was done? And can we have a,
some feedback on that. Thank you. I'll stop for now.
Thank you, Honourable Mbilamuna. That was quite a lengthy list. So I'm not going to give you an opportunity before Honourable Mbilamuna. Thank you, Chaplain. Thank you. Thank you, Chaplain. I just have two questions. Just want to know, I noticed that we have positions that have not been filled, the position of the chief financial officer and the company secretary. Just want to know when will those positions be filled. And on page 21 of the slide, we're talking about the 7.4 million being written there. I just want to know what are the product challenges and the factors which led to the 12.4 being written.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure I'm going to look at thanks to the CEO of NGA for this good report that was given to us. The policies of NGA, the strategy, all what we've been saying here is more than 100% good. But something that is making me to understand clearly is because NGA has got all these policies at national level, but the implementation of these policies and the strategies down there where the poor people are is not the same. The information dissemination, if you talk of NGA offices, you talk of the offices in the provinces. Now, only those people can get this information, those who are exposed to the media, the newspapers and everything. But they are not the people who are supposed to be the beneficiary to the ASEC. I want to know whether we don't have any way of assisting people to develop their proposals and business plans to suit the criteria that one you are using in terms of funding those particular projects, because at the end of the day, they don't even know how to write proposals. The very people who we think NGA is supposed to be funding. Now, it seems as though if they send their proposals and then we just say, it's not a number, and then it's just thrown away. I'll go to slide 10. About the poverty index. There you can see that there is a Cape of 20.8, 7.8, and all down. But what happened? More projects have been approved for those who have a very low poverty index. I don't know, maybe the standard that I don't know what that is. If you can check, Northern Cape has got 1.8, and then 8 projects are funded. I want to know if those provinces with high rate of poverty, have they applied or do they apply? If now the project applies, do you give back the response to say your application has not been approved because of the reason A, B, C, D, E, or the other flat? Don't you have a way of funding small projects? For instance, as they are in the talk of small projects like chicken farming. All those communities can bring up their own chicken. But why should it be one project which can be funded? And yet if we can take 50,000 and then we divide, then we can see that at least we've made a change. Why do I say so? It's because when you look at the beneficiaries of these funds, hospital has been to one project that has been funded by NGA, and really I was very happy. Very, very happy. It's in Fahrenheit, where I could see agricultural God would see people coming from the township shopping to get spinach and everything from the garden. And I said, this is what I think we need to do. So it was well organized and planned. But there was only one small thing that I had to identify, the mentoring of the project. Because when they are sitting there as the committee, they can do whatever they want because there's no mentor to say, maybe quarterly, what are you doing? What have you done? What have you achieved? But the project was doing well. It's also a tractor. And they said to be funded by NTA. Now, I would like you really to look at the problem that our people are experiencing. No, if it's going to be short, my dear.
But you said short one.
What I would like NTA to do is to go down, not to have offices in provinces, but to have offices also in regions, maybe in sub-regions, in small, in LSA, so that those people can get the information, those people can give you their applications can be approved. They can get assistance in developing proposals and development. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kwani and Honorable Kenny. Thank you for the opportunity. And I also want to say thank you for those people who gave us the information. I'm going to be very good. My first question is, during the year under review, the NDA managed to support people out of the national plan on the social safety and in the agency. And my question is, what were the findings of the national plan in the field of the ICT in the NGO sector? My second question, Chuck, is just to follow up on the right bit. Those are money asked the question. I just wanted to find out, can the NDA explain why they did not review their accounting policy? And what was the system in place to address the risks that have been identified? And what was the outcome of the disciplinary action? My other question is regarding the report of the Auditor General. So the NDA managed to get unqualified reports, but there are methods of conduct, especially the individual extension. Which was due to the proper procurement process that was not implemented. Now my question is, this is an indication of a poor and monitoring and evaluation. How will the NDA will address the eventualities and the procurement process within the current financial year? So this is indicating you can compare even your last if you check your annual report between 2008-2009. They tell us the same story. And again, according to the presentation, you tell us about the challenges that there is an inadequate performance monitoring evaluation. But I'm so confused again, because when I check your financial statement on page 14, it seems in terms of budgeting, the project monitoring and support cost, it is reducing, we are reducing the what we budgeted for every time as compared to the previous year. Is it because it's not necessarily identified as a challenge, but when it comes to budgeting, you don't increase your money for monitoring. So I don't know what is the problem. That's my question, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, and for the presentation. And we'll just a few questions. As you say, in your vision, the NTA, the vision is to develop society free from poverty, and also noting that all of us here have an occupation for the betterment of the lives of our people. My question, therefore, is on page 12, on rural economic development. As I know that mostly when we make our visits, we find out that that much. I don't want to be much men to be the new stuff, even the stuff is what development and then before. But the more people, especially the motor, they are still having a problem. They can't access the funding from the organization. But certificate, because they are looking at, I remember one time we went to in Mpumalanga, where there was a piece of land which was owned by the farmer. I don't know whether I can't remember now, because it's a joint venture with the farmer, the beneficiary. Now, what can you go to see that all the beneficiaries get something from what they are doing? What can you go to? What intervention have you done to that area? Noting that we've got the land reform. People now need land, even for agricultural purposes. And you say you are concerned about agriculture and also food security. What strategies have you done so far? Again, on the consumer, to access online media, considering the language problem, what intervention have you done to so that the world poor, especially those in remote areas, get access to the documents, to media online, because some of them have got even the television, they can't read papers. What interventions have you done so far? And I think lastly, on page 20, your interventions, you said one of your challenges, you have interventions in fostering closer relationships with local government, particularly LED. Have you succeeded in sustaining that relationship? Last page 15, bullet 3, performance appraisals biannually. You see, you are also succeeding in the retention of staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable McKinley. Honourable 21, one is an operation. So my last question is on slide 9. The first one is about cultural and artificial projects. And we have high number of beneficiaries. And then my worry is whether the land that these beneficiaries are using release the land, or do they, at the end of the day, the land become theirs? Do they own this land, or what is the position of the land in terms of these agricultural projects? And also, what is the link between the NPA and then the provinces? Let's say, because it's dealing with agriculture and the Department of Agriculture in all the provinces. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anna. I think first of all, as you said, that obviously the nation system is not the protection. Because we need to get the information about it. Secondly, I think maybe I want to latch on to the issue that there should be a body project that that culture, but just the way it's working. And
asking them that I want to echo the concern that the question that Honourable Mr. Sweet has put on the ethics, what happened to the ethics. Because you could have instances where there was that criminal negligence, because they just banned the project to be the and I want to make it a problem because that all those projects that have been written back, if the list can be provided to the committee, so that when we go to onto the next project, you know, problems with the name of the quality, we don't go to project that has been listed. And there could be a member of the community that wants to buy this thing at all costs or have some price. And then we know the secret facts around this project. And any organization has the right to write all projects for reliability. Now, and then we have a list of projects in good standing. So if you can have first problem, a list of projects in good standing of the project, and then those that we know is getting ready. But just if we could if the committee could give that assurance that those assets of that those projects have, will they be redirected to active projects or new projects, maybe within the community, but looking at something else? I think those are the issues that the NGA should be focused on. But I want to urge members that it's also their responsibility as members of Parliament to get information like that to the NGA during the opportunity. And I'm sure in the NGA ministers and CEO, we do have communication sections in the NDA. So if you know the following, can give the mailing list and the addresses to the NDA, for the information of the NDA, then your constituency can get that. And even if there's any other stakeholder that you feel that should get that, especially if it's your bosses in your areas and some of your other stakeholders, because if you look at the as a mandate of the NDA, and I want to take you back to the analysis of the National Development Agency annual report, as a paper of research, it clearly gives you the mandate of the NDA, and it's clearly it's not a business entity. Its mandate is developmental. So, I want us to keep that in mind. Although they have the responsibility to see that that projects are being inefficient. The other issue that I want to raise is the NDA was, if you look at the 880,000 rand given to the 881,000 expenditure. It's the NDA was in reach of the community. And have you eliminated all the outstanding project queries? Did you develop an audit action plan to make sure that this irregular expenditure does not happen again in the 2010-2011 financial year? Because then you can achieve the people's treatment. Because it's such a small thing. Then, in terms of, and I want to pose this question to yourself and to the CEO. And the chairperson of the board. In terms of strategic partnerships with other agencies, even international agencies, including the United concerned with food security, the golden village is concerned with food security. And even if you look at looking forward, and I think if the minister says, because we in the committee program we're looking at, we've going to invite you to come back to the committee and check on the issues raised in the state of the national agenda of trade, and then also reflect on your priorities for the year without going into the budget right now. But check on those issues raised in the state of the national and other strategic issues you want to raise. But just off the cuff for now, are you looking at strategic relationships and clearly the budget that you have at your disposal is not enough. So are there any strategic engagements that can bring more funds to the NDA, whether via strategic partnerships? To be able to make a bigger impact in community of a leader in poverty. That's it for us.
Chairperson, I'm going to be very brief, and I have joined with you, Honorable Chairperson, that I would like to leave at 11, but I thought I can't do it without having an understanding of the first round or the nature of questions that will be coming up. But let me thank you and the members of the committee for giving us this opportunity. And then secondly, agree with you that we are ready to come back to the committee, because we want to present our strategic view of where we think we are going to as NDA, because we have had a strategic session and we have looked at the issues that were raised, most particularly by SCOPA, that are related to our accounting procedures and all other related matters. I would like to start with the issue of inadequate skills. I think one of the priorities that the Department of Public Services has raised with us is the issue of staff retention. And that is why we've had a workshop to look into that issue, because sometimes our nature of work makes young people to look to greener pastures or to better areas, and what's important for us is to be able to keep staff so that we can have people with skills who are ready to develop and are committed to community development, because you know community development needs a lot of commitment, and I think we are trying to focus on that, and it's amongst our priorities. But also members have raised the issue of monitoring as well as mentoring and incubation. We've also agreed that that should be amongst our priorities, because what's been happening before is that as long as there isn't an NGO that applies for funds, we go through administrative procedures and train them, and not look at the issues of incubation, which are most important. And if you lose members at that stage, members of a group at that stage, it means you've lost everything. And one other thing that we've agreed upon is that we are not going to just give money and give NGOs or members of community to do as they please. We're going to support, slowly, we're going to put more effort on supporting, because for those of us who did community development, there is a conflict faced in a community development project. And if you are trained as a community development worker, your aim should not be to write off projects. Your aim should be to take members of the community through that conflict stage
because it comes, there's a high level of distrust, because there's more money coming up, and people think that others are going to charge the money. So if you are a trained as a development worker, you must be able to take people through that process. So we've also touched on that, we should strengthen that part. But one other area that you have raised, the issue of community development. Yes, we agree there are projects that we are working with right now. But our most important role is to be able to mobilize communities to work towards development. And if you look into areas that are priority areas that we can be playing a role as NDA, there are many. Issues of violence against women, early childhood development, we've shared that with the special advisor because an expert on the issue of NGOs. Those are the areas that we need to be strong on so that we don't have collapsing NGOs and community organizations, because this is not happening in social development only. It is happening throughout the country where you have an NGO. They are collapsing because there isn't an arm that is mobilizing them, that is strengthening them to understand what their role is. As well as cooperatives, NDA should be able to mobilize cooperatives so that they understand what they are supposed to be doing. And the issue of sustaining NGOs and community organizations is about the value chain. Because you can have a good project, and you can plant vegetables, and you can have a chicken project, but if there is no one who comes to buy that, it means that that project won't go anywhere. And we think that NDA can play a very important role in trying to strengthen that value chain, but not NDA only, because the sustenance of NGOs as well as cooperatives depends on the state and how it functions, because without the support of the state, you won't be able to sustain all these things. I thought this is also very much important. Some of the questions that have been raised are justified, and it's issues that we have to look into so that we help to fight poverty. And it's also the issue of the new regime that was put in place for community organizations. Before you had to apply and be accepted and then go through a long process before you get your money. But now you apply and you do everything at the same time, and then you get your money and you hit the ground running. There are things that we've tried to look into, and I think it would be good for members of the committee to be always with us, because sometimes we find out that you are where we've never been to. And reporting such incidents to us will help us to put our house in order. Thank you, Chairperson.
I guess if one was to use the balance scorecard as a tremendous performance, when you talk about the customer perspective, that's one of the scorecards. And one of the primary mandates that comes from our implementation is around capacity building for NGOs and CBOs. So the question you're asking in terms of problem of capacity obviously has to be one of the objectives. To make sure we strengthen the capacity of NGOs and CBOs working in social development, primarily for improving sustainable livelihood. And because maybe some of the projects are not going to create jobs. People, if are in a project in the community, either in a project in the community, that is their livelihood. They generate income from it. And I think if we set that as one of the target performance measures, in terms of saying, we want to make sure a lot of people in this project, they are they're experiencing sustainable livelihoods, whether it's income, and access to other services. So other than funding and partnerships, one of the things that perhaps when we come back next year to report, I don't think it's inconceivable for us to set up, to promote more giving, beyond even all the fees, but even locally, where you can have a database where people can know what are the needs, where are the projects, how much and what are the things that these CBOs and NGOs require. In your own community, many people often, see, one of the impacts of the apartheid regime is you have a situation in terms of the spatial expectation where people who have the skills and the resources don't live with those who need the skills and the resources. So people in Alex and wherever, they need the skills and the resources. However, those who have, they live in fact. And I guess one of the things that we need to do, and again, it's about social cohesion, building social cohesion within our community, is how do we make sure that we bring more linkages and more people in society to begin to give more, whether it's in terms of time, whether it's in terms of money, into the communities around where they find poverty. I come from a mining community. I was astounded to see young children who had to dig and use shovels to create a playground, and the mining company had put 6 million rand in their private old resort around the community, which doesn't say anything to what we need. So these are some of the things that I guess in terms of funding and partnerships that we will endeavor over the coming period to promote, in addition to overseas attracting overseas donors, etc. Barring, of course, the impact of the economic recession around the world. Secondly, is if we talk about sustainable housing, I mean, this is just an idea of always having that. I mean, I was going through a budget vote 18, which is the social development budget vote. We spent 89.368 billion on grants. Now, you would know, and this study was done by one of the things. Organization in the country, almost 80% or more of that money is spent on consumption, whether it's food, etc. Now, to what extent can we begin to create a little bit more pressure, for example, for off-take agreements with the ShopRite, Checkers, and so on, who actually benefit from the amount of money that government is putting, on, because the money of social grants is to a large extent contributing to affordability. So this is a kind of discourse I think we need to have over and above overseas, just to say, instead of buying things from China, India, etc., what kind of a social contract do you want to enter in with the poor through whom you create profit in India? And I think it's the discussion we should have frankly without fear or anything like that, to the point of regulating. So those are things I think around funding and partnerships that I think in terms of strengthening NGOs that we would have to look at the board level. Lastly, just to say that I'm sure there are a lot of people who are doing good things, but often I think it's important to share good practices with them. I mean, most women in the room know Carol Boyce and the work that she's doing in Benin to support local communities. I'm sure there are many companies at a very small level who are small companies, very small companies, who are medium-sized companies, who actually want to do something in communities. They don't know what are the practices, how do you go about doing it, etc., etc. So those are some of the things that, in addition to promoting funding and partnership, if you can just share practices on how to do what you need to do. Because a lot of people, sometimes they want to give, but they know that they can get a donation tax deduction, etc., etc. So those are some of the things that we would endeavor that in the foreseeing period going forward, we address in terms of funding.
Thank you.
terms of responding to the question. Let's start with the comment that was raised, first of all, with regard to the very first question by the Honourable Member, Honourable Member Treasurer, with regard to the cost on administration vis-à-vis the mandate cost. And I can just indicate that going forward, this is one area that indeed we want to look at. But also we recognize the fact that we have a strength as NDA, strength in the fact that we have the cost infrastructure in place in terms of disbursing funds. So which means that if there is a strength, if we could even get more money, let's say more 100 million rand, given our strength, we could still manage to disperse funds utilizing the existing infrastructure. And I hope the honorable members will assist us to negotiate for more funds to come to NCA. So we recognize that because, I mean, if you look at it, we cannot cut or reduce dramatically administrative costs because it's important to do some of those things in terms of that. But to begin to say, with the infrastructure that is there and how can you even, if you get more money, to still make sure that you don't increase the admin cost, but you maintain the level of that. So we are looking at that. And I think also as we are just aligning that question to the question of mobilizing more resources, which you touched on, Honorable Chair, that indeed this is one of our key strategic objectives going forward, to ensure that we mobilize more resources, we strengthen even the partnership so that we can do more, you know, in terms of what we need to do in contributing towards poverty eradication. The number of questions that you asked, we're going to respond to them, not even in sequence, but you can just stay with us. There was a question that was raised around the amount of right there, but particularly to say, what are the issues that cause this right there? And we have indicated that one of those challenges is around the issue of conflict, as the minister was indicating, where you find that there are conflicts. That cannot be resolved despite interventions that we put in place to assist those CSOs to resolve the conflict. But other reasons are related to what I said in my presentation, that it's around where you find that the project does not demonstrate adequacy in the number of capacity areas around the issues of governance, around the issues of management, the technical capacity in other instances, technical capacity to ensure that the project is implemented successfully, despite, you know, interventions again in terms of supporting those organizations. But also in other instances, the reality is there are instances where there are financial mismanagement and misappropriation. And I mean, we have to be realistic in terms of that when there are those issues, if money has been misappropriated, has been mismanaged, we would terminate the project. So it's a number of these reasons that resulted in the writing back of those. And again, we are just not sitting to say, because we understand as a development agency, we cannot discontinue. We need to ensure that we support, we assist these projects to the extent that they achieve what they want to achieve. And therefore, we are opening our eyes in terms of ensuring that we strengthen internal capacity to address some of these issues so that we don't find ourselves writing that project. There was a question around why was the accounting policy not reviewed? The finance policy. And the reason for that is that as an organization, we have passed should I say, a resolution that we let's review our policies once in 2 years and not annually. But also we acknowledge that this particular policy, the violence policy, it took longer than expected. And for a number of reasons, which some were related to the consultation process because of aspects that were impacting on employees, on the unions, and so forth. So even the consultation process took longer. So that's why this policy, which has since been finalized, I must indicate, it was not finalized by at the end of the financial year, but now the policy has since been finalized. Well, the question in terms of around the fact that the issues of irregular expenditure, that which was indicated as 8% something, that this has been coming up in a number of years, and moving forward, how are we going to make sure that we address that? Indeed, we have, coming into NCA, we have identified that we need to ensure that we enforce the compliance in terms of our supply chain management policy, because it relates to non-compliance. That's why we have irregular. So there is really a rigorous movement towards ensuring that as management, we take seriously the issue of ensuring that we comply and we plan. Because sometimes we find that these issues, they relate to the fact that they are, we don't plan properly, where you find that you need to plan long and in advance. And you want to do something now within a short time, and you don't comply to the policy. For example, that would say you need to go and get 5 quotations, and then you end up getting 2 quotations, and that is not compliance because the policy says get so many quotations. So it begins to say to us as management, let's plan properly to ensure that indeed we comply to the policy that is there. And we hope that in future we will do our best to ensure that we won't have the existing challenges. We'll try our best. Well, the question that says what systems are there in place to address the risk, something like that. And you can just indicate that in terms of the risk, we have the register is there, that identifies what are the critical risks that are there that could prevent us in terms of achieving what we want to achieve. And so we, and each manager has got a responsibility in terms of managing those risks that relate to its particular area. So we have that. Actually, we have even uploaded this register in terms of the risk on our internet. So and units are expected to report quarterly in terms of how we manage this. So that's another area that we are really taking seriously to address. And the question around the findings in terms of the national study on the state of ICT in the engine sector. When we conducted the study, the study revealed that there's lack of strategic capacity in the CSO sector continues to be a serious limitation. And further to connectivity and telecommunications, it was found that email and fax were the means that are overwhelmingly used. About 95% to 93% respectively. And 50% of the NGOs surveyed made use of mobile phone technology. And finally, as it relates to using technology to raise money, only 9% of NGOs had used the internet going online to raise money, to interact with partners. And conclusively, the study indicated that only 14% of the NGOs surveyed were found to spend significantly on ICT. And if the members are interested, we can provide you with the full report. There was a question on that slide. Which the honourable member said that, for example, if you look at that, Northern Cape is 1.8, and yet I mean, if we look at the if we look at the poverty index at that particular year, then you can see that the provinces that had the highest poverty rate was Eastern Cape with 20.8, followed by KwaZulu-Natal with 22. I mean, KwaZulu-Natal 22.6 and so on, followed by Eastern Cape, followed by the Limpopo, followed by Gauteng. And I know there's always the question when that says Gauteng is not. And I think what is missing is that we underestimate the move of the informal settlement that begin to, you know, to change or to change the situation of Gauteng, which used to be, you know, have lesser poverty rates. So all I'm trying to say is that if you look at those that have indicated, you can see that even the amounts that we approve are higher than those provinces where have the province. For example, Northern Cape is 1.8, which has got the lowest. But if you look at the amount, and I don't think the number of projects must look at the amount of money. Because if you look at the amount of money, it's 5.6 million. If you compare it to the other, which is 14.1 million and so forth. So, and again, I can see the poverty index changes every, although the change is slightly, but also when we do this, we are always guided by the poverty index. There was a question on which was asked by another member together with this one on poverty index around the fact that you've got all these policies that you made, but they are not known on the ground. In terms of responding to that question, the list of policies that we had here that you shared with the members are the policies, internal policies, that guide us as an organization in terms of how to manage, how to conduct business within an organization. So those policies are internal policies, and they relate to what we said as a strategic one in terms of ensuring that we strengthen our organizational sustainability. However, I can just take this opportunity in terms of responding to the honorable member to say that when we looked at the issues that had resulted in us appearing before SOFA, one of the issues that we identified was the fact that the report of the Auditor General indicated that we're taking longer in terms of approving projects and that. And I can indicate that, and this is what the Minister was indicating in her brief response, to say we have seen streamlined our processes to the extent that some of the things which were three processes that we had to go through, we have consolidated those to make sure that our approving process is very quick, and ensure that also even I can also report to the committee that even our contracts have been translated into 11 languages to ensure that when we work with the civil society organizations, particularly those that you know are struggling to understand English, we reach out, we translate the contract so that the organization can understand in the language that you know they use, what it means, what is expected. So we are really reaching out, and I can even link that response to the question that was raised by one honourable member around the fact that when we are repositioning NDA and we're talking about newspapers and we're talking about, I mean, you need to understand that some of our people cannot read the newspapers. And one critical aspect that we've identified as NDA is also ensuring that we use the radio, local community radio stations. Community radio stations, because this is where you find that our people, they listen to the community radio stations. And so that we have a mix of media that we use. We don't only concentrate only on written media. question on positions not filled at the time of the report. Those positions were not filled, but I can indicate now that there is a new CEO, which is myself speaking. There is the company secretary, which has been here, and there is the new CFO. Unfortunately, he's not well, he's not amongst us today. So, but those positions have been filled. Let me hand over to Mr. Mukhalo to address some of the questions that have not been. I'm trying to think of which ones. I'm looking at my list. But just before he comes in, just to indicate that there are questions that the members have raised that we do not have information as well to here, where the members raise specific questions on specific projects. Through you, Chair, if we can request that we provide report on those specific ones, because we don't have information now, but we can just indicate that within 7 days we will provide feedback on those specific questions with regard to those projects. But also even those documents that were requested, the strategy as well as the list of reports for 77 projects. So we will provide those in any time. Let me hand over to my colleague to respond to some of the questions.
I think the issue of the report of the
any other projects that we have in the Western Cape. we will give you, let me just say for the record, sir, there is not, there are only two instances. Chairperson, there are only two instances where the NTA has mentioned that. This is the in all other instances, the issue is about PTO, permission to notify, or the recycling. Those lists are connected with municipalities at Kukata. So the issue at the matriculating chapters is that the problem we have with particularly in those sectors has to do with honoring those commitments about permission to occupy or the recycling. That's all.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Allow me to just go back to this slide. The slide that is an issue of poverty distribution provinces receiving less than half of the province. Yes. You know, NDA is not a business entity. I think all of us know about that. It is clearly a development instrument for government. Now, poverty knows no boundaries, as all of us would know that. You may think that housing is free from poverty. It is not. It's not true. People are migrating from the rural areas to housing and the Western Cape as well as the Tebini, with their hope to find employment, yet there are no jobs. Thus, they live in handouts, and they are very poor. There is a lot of poverty in squatter camps, as I think UCC indicated. Now, we need to say what is it that we can do to assist those people, to help them migrate from poverty to the economic mainstream. We need to say what are the efforts that we can do to assist them start their own small businesses, working whatever way it should. It can be cooperatives, it can be small businesses or survivalists, just to migrate them from the bottom of the economic pyramid to the top. Even though they can just move one step further to enable them to augment the grants that they are having and make a better life out of that. And that is not only our job as the ministry, but all of us should engage into that. And that's why I wanted to invite you, all of you seated here, to say some words with us so that we can be able to assist our people. We are in Pretoria and in Cape Town in the offices. We don't know what is happening on the ground. Sometimes you are the people that are much closer to the people on the ground. Now, come out with a protest that you know that are going down and give them to us so that we can see what we can do about those projects. As the minister indicated, that our aim should not be to write off projects, but to incubate them, monitor them, and train our people before even funding them. There's a problem of funding people before training them. You fund people for a failure because you give people who don't know. You know, people can be educated sometimes. Sorry. People can be highly educated sometimes, but what I've learned is that people are not entrepreneurs. They don't know how to run a business in particular. So ours is to start by training those people first. Make sure that they understand what they are doing. If they want to form a social cooperative, what is a cooperative? What is it that they must do? How are they supposed to run this particular project? How are they supposed to manage? How are they supposed to manage the finances? If they don't know how to do that, immediately you find them, they start fighting because they think that the one that can read and write has swallowed all that money before they can even get started. So my plea is that when we have organized people, let's start by organizing training for those people so that at the end of the day, they all know what is happening in the project. If we don't do that, we are then opting for a failure. More institutions should be drawn into the fight against poverty. Since we have limited financial resources allocation, we need more people to come into the play. We need to see private institutions coming in. We need to see private firms coming in to assist us in the fight against poverty. Because this is a fight. This is not something that we can play around with. This is a fight, and we deal with people's lives. Let's make sure that we work together and not in silos. For instance, someone has raised the issue of provinces not seeing the footsteps of NDA. Mm-hmm. But we have got provinces, we've got municipalities, we've got all these formations, government formations. Let's make sure that we work together. Nobody should work in silos, so that when there's a problem, we all tackle that problem together. The task of developing people cannot be directed to one organization, but all of us should be participants rather than spectators. Now, if there are projects, somebody indicates that there are projects that are going down. If there are projects that are going down that you know about, please forward them to us so that we can be able to assess what happened, what went wrong. If that particular project can be revived, then we can do that. And if it's a write-off, we can look at what made it a write-off, what happened, so that we don't allow ourselves to repeat those same mistakes in the coming project. So if there are projects that should, I think, through you, Chairperson, I don't know if Mrs. Lamola. Mrs. Lamola knows about projects. Please forward those projects to us so that we can have a look at what happened in those projects and even go there together with the committee to find out what is happening down there. Because our aim really is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes, of course. Because there are things that cause our people to be poor. And one of those issues is education. And one of the other one is underfunding of the projects that we start for our people. And the other one is funding people before training those people. And, of course, putting together people that are not business-minded in a hope that they will do business. We must be able to say, let's look at the people themselves that are coming together. Are they all business-minded? Because if there's someone who's not business-minded, that person will just sit and fold their arms and say, no, they will work, but when money comes, they all want money. I think those are the little things that people are fighting about. So we must be able to say, let's assist our people and make sure that the people that are coming together are all business-minded, are all people who are willing to work for their living. Because if not, then we are funding them for a failure. I think I just wanted to encourage people so that all of us seated here can do something for our people, because we are all representing provinces seated here. All of us are from provinces. And I don't know what is happening in your province, but you know. Give us that information so that we can work together with you and try to assist those people in the provinces. I just wanted to say that, Jefferson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for Deputy Minister, for the speech. I would like to thank the Independent Committee for the presentation here today in front of the committee. We will be considering the report of the NDA.
would like, I want to urge the board to make the business card available to the committee, to the new board, and also the new minister and deputy minister. So that we can start communicating with each other as a committee. We hope that next time we will be meeting the other members of the board. Actually, we feel really honored to have a chairperson and the chairperson. Thank you very much to the team of the NDA and also to our minister, Deputy Minister, our minister, to me for sharing with us. We thank you for being here. We're sure that other committees also like to chair the minister and Deputy Minister in the meeting. Thank you very much. Honourable members, can you just indulge me for another question? One part. You can take a body break, pardon me.
I need to
can we also automatically just follow up on the data? I think what we need is a copy of the report on the number of children that were born out of African women to stay in foreign countries that the department brought back and placed in the first place. Now, we can't have the names of the people who are minors and their words back, but at least just an indication. Okay. So, you can just send another reminder to the department. The committee made the following recommendation: the conclusion of the report should be the committee appreciation for the report of the Cuban Embassy in preparation for the parents' work. That's on the zoning page. Yeah, but you see, then you have to go to GCIS and request them to order something. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to your nearest GCIS office, they can give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can, if they don't have it, they order.
Yeah,
they do order. You can ask them to order that, but also, we can request, when we get the workshop, that DSD must at least give 2 to 3 of those tips to us. So that we can then just submit them to us and give them to the stakeholders in our units. Thank you. Honourable members?
The Department of Social Development and Justice. She's saying that on TV, there were series where this one girlfriend or the person who in the TV was injured as a drug dealer. So she stayed in a soft office in Seattle. So I think that's a very good thing to show how people can visualize to people so they can see how people are using God into being done. Thank you, Honourable Members. Can I get a proposal and a second for the adoption of the Thank you, Honourable Members. Call for Honourable Members. We only have one set of minutes, that's about 17, and that is when the EDA came to us and then. The meeting should be scheduled to consider the annual report. Another meeting should be scheduled to consider the annual report. And the NDA should review the presentation and ensure that it reflects the strategic goals that are contained in the annual report. So that was basically it. That was discussed and then we also adopt the minutes in that meeting. Can we adopt those minutes? Okay. It's straightforward. Yeah. Okay, Honourable Member. Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for meeting the judge.
Thank you.